Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 163, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, my God, most earnestly, my heart would seek thy face within thy holy house once more to see thy glorious grace. And what follows in all stanzas of 163.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, in the 24th chapter, beginning with verse 13 through verse 35. Luke 24, verses 13 through 35. But first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take in the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Luke 24, beginning with verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. And then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us. For it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us? And while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and all-knowing, all-sufficient Lord of the heavens and of the earth, and we gather again together in this morning hour, coming up once again in the beginning of this thy holy day, and in this week round about this thy holy word and everlasting testimony. O thou who dost say and that thou lovest far more than Jacob's habitations, and who has set thy firm foundation upon Zion's holy mount. O, we beseech thee that thou may also gather with us in this morning hour. That was the desire of these men, of whom we have read in these very moments. And then we may hear in that thou didst go in to tarry with them. And Lord, this we cannot miss, because we have come together with one another, and we have come together with our children in this morning. And we may be together in thy house and round about thy word. But when thy presence will not go up with us, and then we shall still miss the blessing. And then this will only testify against us in that great day of days. Lord, we beseech thee, and that thou may hear us also, as thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that thou may hear our supplication, and that thou may come in with us, and that thou may go with thy word, even as we may read that thou didst go with it in this morning, that it may also be carried forth in the midst of this thy house, and that thy spirit may bless, that thy spirit may sanctify what we cannot sanctify and bless, and that thou may look upon us when we have only that hard heart that we are born with by nature, and that we have never received a new heart. Lord, all look then on us in this morning, that it may yet be the moment of thy good pleasure, and that thou would descend from heaven, thy dwelling place, with thy spirit to prick our hearts for the first time in our life. And whether we are young or whether we have become old, under the preaching and under the reading of thy holy word. Lord, that the power of thy word by thy spirit may be felt and experienced by us and our children, that we may not be left to go on seeking after all that is vain and that is carnal in this world, but that our hearts may be taken in this morning for a thine account, and that we may be separated by the Spirit of the Lord from all that Satan does draw us unto, and that our hearts also do seek by nature. Oh, that thou may draw up that drawbridge with this world, that we may be spoiled for the world, and that our hearts may be united unto thee. Lord, teach us, lead us, guide us, convert us, grant us life from the dead that shall hunger and that shall thirst after thee, the true and the living God. For so we may read it also in thy word continually, that thy church did hunger and did thirst for thee, even as the hart panted for the water brooks. Oh, that it may be the experience of young and old, that the treasures that are laid up in thy only begotten Son, that they also may be given to us and to our children, and that thy children also may receive an undeserved blessing in this morning hour. Lord, thou knowest where they are, each and every one of them. Oh, thou knowest how that by times that thou dost give them to abhor themselves. For then there is nothing but mire and dirt that is able to be brought forth from their own hearts. And Lord, then by times thou givest them to behold it. And then it is so necessary that they also have eyes to see that fountain that is open for sin and for uncleanness. Oh, that thou may look upon them in this day, that thou may bless thy own word to the encouragement of those who can see nothing but sin and misery, that thou may show the beauty of that foundation that thou hast laid, that is so sure, and that is able to uphold thy entire church. Oh, that they may be given to see something of the efficacy of that blood, and that was poured forth from thy side, that there may be hope unto those that are distressed,
those that are despondent and that are in despair, and that the poor may indeed hope in Thee. Lord, look upon us if we do deceive ourselves. For Thou knowest our own wretchedness, and that our hearts are deceitful above all things. They are desperately wicked. And we can read now in Thy holy word the way in which Thou dost lead all Thy people. And then we need to know it for ourselves also. Lord, that Thou may grant us then a discerning heart in this morning hour, that we each one before Thy countenance may look upon our own life and our own hearts, and that we may examine ourselves whether that work of Thee be begun in our own life. Oh, give us that honesty and that uprightness with our soul, as we are traveling to a great eternity. For there will be no covering of Thine eyes. There will be no hiding from Thee in that last day. That judgment day, when that eye of that judge shall pierce our hearts. Oh, look on us then and make us honest with Thee. And wilt Thou cause us to see all our own sin, and that we may see preciousness of Thy only begotten Son. Lord, look on us and lead us into all Thy truth. Wilt Thou look on all that are not able to be with us in this day? Remember all those that have become old. Wilt Thou supply for them in the increasing needs and cares of the body and of the mind? Remember them in the nursing home, or in their own homes in this day, wherever that they may be, also if they may be all in our midst. Lord, wilt Thou bless Thy word to them and us, and our children to the coming generations. Lord, that Thou may look upon our youth. Oh, give to us also in this morning simplicity, because Thy word that is also coming to the ears of our children and our youth. But Lord, Thou needest to open our eyes all together, and Thou can give us understanding. Also, when we are so very young, Thou art able to speak and to say, Samuel, Samuel. Lord, that Thou may remember then young and old, and that we may feel something of Thy nearness and of Thy presence, of Thy favor and of Thy blessing in the midst of us as a congregation. That we may be given to see something of Thy own work, the work of Thy Spirit moving with quietness in the midst of this our flock. And that from time to time, and that Thy work may come out into the open, and that it may be to the gladness of the heart of Thy people, and to the upbuilding of Thy church here below. And, O Lord, that not one of us may be left behind as we are traveling to that great eternity. O Lord, bless this day, bless this Thy word, and the labors of our hands in this morning hour, To the glory of Thy great and holy name, and to the welfare of our poor souls, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 229, stanzas 3 through 5. Blessed they who in Thy house abide, they still to Thee shall render praise. Blessed they who in Thy strength confide, and in whose hearts are Zion's ways. Though passing through the vale of tears, like springs of joy, Thy grace appears. We announce to the congregation that a male members' meeting will be held tomorrow evening, Monday, May the 9th at 7:30 p.m. to deal with the offer of the purchase for the Calgary Church building. Psalter 229, stanzas 3 through 5. and their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And yet, congregation, how much they may experience of him, and how much they may experience from him, even though they do not know him, even though they cannot perceive who that he is. No, he is not so very far away from them. Not in the reality, and also not in the experience, even though they are not able to perceive him. And they do not know from where all of these blessings that they are receiving from moment to moment, when their heart does burn within them, they do not know, they do not realize from where that these blessings are coming. That it is by him that their hearts, they are drawn out. That it is by him that their heart is melted, that is made soft, even though their eyes are holding that they should not know him. It is by him that they are given to unburden themselves. Though their eyes are holden, and though he is, as it were, even a stranger unto them. And by him they are receiving from moment unto moment much instruction, though that their eyes are holden, that they should not know him. But he rebukes them, and he teaches them, and he leads them into all the truth. Blessed life, is it not? Blessed life, that life of God's people. Oh, even in that time, is it not so? May we see it not so? Even in that time, that their eyes are holden, that they should not know him, then those men, they would not exchange boys and girls, they would not exchange that life for all the life of the riches and joys and the entertainments of this world. No, not even in the beginning. When that mediator is so hid, when sin, when depravity, when misery is all brought into the foreground in the life of the people. No, even as the Lord is stripping that people more and more to remove their religion as a ground, to undermine all those false foundations whereupon they are continually trying to build. No, even then, while their eyes are holding that they should not know him, even then it is often so good. No, they do not have the benefactor that they may embrace him, that they may say that he is their own. But they are receiving gifts from him. And that is already so good. And they are not, certainly not, forsaken by him. And now if it is so good in the life of the people, if it is so good even from that moment of that new birth, if it is so good in the heart that is so drawn even when the tears, they begin to flow on account of sin, if it is so good, even while their eyes, they are holding that they should not know him, oh, then how good Oh, what must that now be when their eyes are opened? That is what we wish, with the Lord's help, to consider in this hour. From this same chapter, Luke 24, the 31st verse. Luke 24, verse 31, and then only the first part, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him. So far, the words of our text. Christ reveals himself to the Emmaus travelers. First, the eyes are opened. Second, the understanding is opened. And third, the lips are opened. Christ reveals himself to the Emmaus travelers. The eyes, the understanding, and the lips are opened. Beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. That was, congregation, a blessed instruction. To be instructed in the things concerning himself. Blessed instruction for whom? Blessed instruction for those who miss the mediator. Blessed instruction for those who have to die and who cannot die. Blessed instruction for those whose religion is all taken away from them, and for whom in this time there is nothing left. What kind of instruction is it? That is instruction in the necessity of the death of that mediator. That is instruction in the necessity of a sacrifice for sin. What did the Lord Jesus say? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Ought he not? That is instruction for those disciples in the necessity of the priestly work of Christ. What is the sum total, congregation, of all the life of God's people? When you will put everything together, or actually maybe we should say when everything is now taken away, then what is left? Then there is one thing left. And that is that I need to be forgiven. Then when a man loses his zeal, and when a man loses his love, and when a man loses his works, and when a man loses all his religion, then he comes into the great need. And what is now that need? What is now left? There is only one thing. And that is that we have to be forgiven. That is now the only way that a person can be reconciled unto God. Do you need also to be forgiven? Or do you need also that a sacrifice be made on your behalf, and that the debt would be paid? That is instruction we read here in the necessity of the priestly work of that mediator, not only his prophetical work, that he may give me instruction, no, not only the kingly work, that he may rule, that he may guide, but also that priestly work. But now it is possible to see our need. And it is possible to be instructed in the necessity of that sacrifice. and the necessity that that debt be paid for me. But still, that my eyes are closed to that actual sacrifice, that that actual sacrifice that is still hid from mine eyes, and now before the Lord reveals himself, he will make place. He will make place in order that that sacrifice, that there be room to receive it. And now we read, they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. Where was that, children? Where did they go? They were going to Emmaus. They don't realize it. But now this is a place that they are never going to forget. This is a place to the rest of their life, to their dying day, that is going to remain in their memory. This is a place of which they are going to speak. And we are speaking of it still today. And the church of God unto the end of the world is going to speak about this place. And why? Because that is a place the Lord is going to come. That is a place the Lord is going to appear, that he is going to show himself unto his children. That he is going to give unto them deliverance. And the Lord, he is a surprising God. We do not know when. We do not know where. Or it is where two or three are gathered together. Will you remember that, young people? Oh, never leave that place empty. Because we do not know when. And the Lord, he is coming in a moment that we so little expected. Maybe when your heart that is so hard and you have no desire to come up on the Sabbath morning to that house of God. And then the Lord is coming. Oh, and then it becomes a place and it becomes a time that you will speak of to the rest of your life. That you will say, then and there, it was the time that the Lord appeared in my life. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. Didn't the Lord Jesus know that he was going to go with them into this place? Oh, certainly he did. But how will the Lord Jesus go in? The Lord Jesus, he will go in invited. He will go in asked for. That is what we read in the Word of God. He will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. And thus he does not just offer to go in, no. But what is the Lord Jesus doing? He is making himself lovely. He is making himself precious in the eyes of these men. And then he is making room, place in their heart. And then he is drawing that heart would supplicate unto him. That heart would pray unto him for his presence. That is what we hear. That is what we read. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. What a tender place that this man has received in the hearts of these two men. Oh, that time that has gone by so quickly, and before they know it, and they have now drawn near unto that village whither they went, 2.5 hours. That was not too long for them to be instructed by the Lord Jesus. No, then they did not want the Lord Jesus to stop, but they wished that the Lord Jesus would just go on and on and on. And then when it comes time that he stops, then they are disappointed. How is that congregation in our own life? Or do we ever wish that the church boys and girls would never go out? Or you say sometimes it is so hard to sit, and we understand that. Or we understand that everything in its time, everything in its place, but what now lives in your heart, is there ever time? Is there ever a time that your heart, all that says minister, elder, keep reading, keep preaching, go on, go on. All that those things that you may hear, that they are precious unto your own soul, abide with us. All they don't want to miss that stranger. Ask them now, who is that stranger? Or they will feel so ignorant, because they will not be able to tell you who that stranger is. And yet there are bonds there. There is love there. Because now that stranger, he is able to expound all the things, the riddles that are living within our heart. Or we read of the Lord Jesus, he goes to that man that was born blind when he was come in the temple. And he says, believest thou in the Son of God? Oh, what did that man experience? He experienced the power of the Son of God. Oh, the Lord Jesus himself, he had healed him. The Lord Jesus himself, he had opened his eyes that he may see. Oh, he had received the gifts, but he did not even know who that he was. And so he said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? Oh, and yet the love, and therefore these men, they are not able to let the Lord Jesus go. Oh, like Moses, that thy presence, if thy presence go not up with us, carry us not up hence, abide with us. Oh, do you ever ask the Lord to abide with you, young people? Do you ever ask the Lord, Lord, wilt thou come in thy house? Lord, wilt thou come in my house too? Or are you willing that he may see everything that you do? Are you willing that he may see everything you look at? Everything you read? Are you willing that he would hear every word that comes out of your mouth? Or are you willing that he should search even the innermost recesses of your heart? Abide with us. And what do? They constrain him. They do not say it once, no. But they say it over and over. That to show the power, the force of their desire. Oh, that they are not able to let him go because they need the blessing from him. And he went in, we read, to tarry with them. What a wonder, congregation, he is constrained. God's children, they don't deserve anything. But what do we read? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And when they are beseeching him, and when they are constraining him, is that your life too? Or when they are constraining him, then we read that he goes. He goes in to tarry with them. No, it is not the whole night, but it is just a little while, that they may sit together around this table with that stranger. Joseph, he did the same. He brought in his brethren. And he gathered them and he did eat with them. And oh, how good that it was for them. when they may sit together with Joseph. But they still did not know who he was. Oh, he maintains them, yes. He nourishes them, yes. All in a secret way. But now there comes a moment that he does more. And then we can read that the Lord Jesus, he takes the place as the host. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. And what is the result? The result is the same as when the Lord Jesus, he did give the bread unto the 4,000 and unto the 5,000. And when the Lord Jesus did divide that bread, then a miracle did take place. No, that was not the same miracle as here, in the multiplying of the loaves. But it is something different, but something so much more precious. Because what do we read? We read, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him. How is that? Or did they then see for a moment? Did they see the wounds which were in his hands? May they have a view of the print of the nails? We do not know what those means were. One thing we do know, we know the cause. Why they knew him. Because that we read in God's word. And the cause was this. That their eyes were opened. And that is in direct contrast to what we have heard before. That their eyes were holden. Thus it was not the work of those disciples. But it was the work of the Lord. To open their eyes. It is not the work of the people. It is not your work. It is not my work. But this is the work of the Lord. Because a man can receive nothing except it be given unto him from above. And now when that greater Joseph, he says, I am Joseph. Then they recognize him. Their eyes are opened. And they knew him. The veil that is taken off their eyes. That mist of darkness that is removed away from them. How long did that take, children? How long did that take? It took one moment. It was just a moment's time between not seeing and seeing. And there was nothing between these two except for the good pleasure of the Lord. Then they cannot understand how they did not see before. Because then he is before their eyes. And then everything is so plain unto them. Because when the Lord opens our eyes, then we are given to see. And how different that it is, children. When you would close your eyes, and when you would open your eyes, that is what we read in the Word of God. And that it is being likened unto. That is what you may know of also for yourself. In a natural way in this world. When you may close your eyes and when you must see nothing but darkness. And when you may now open your eyes, what a difference. So it is in the life of the people. And then not only their eyes go opened, but in our second thought we see their understanding goes opened, and their eyes were opened and they knew him. What is the congregation? To know Christ. That is quite the thing to be able to say. I know him. Do you dare to say that? And yet to know him is everything. And yet to know him is life. This is life eternal. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That is everything. That is life. But how is it now that a person comes to know him? Well, that is by the opening of the eyes. That is the only way. That is when he is revealed to the soul by the Spirit of the Lord. And yet there are also steps. Steps in coming to know him. That is also not learned in one day. There is so much that is in him. There is so much to be learned of him, to know of him. And what is the first thing we need to know? That is that we need him. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. Did those disciples know the Lord Jesus before? Oh, yes, they knew him. They walked with him. They talked with him for 3 years. Certainly they knew him. Now another question. Did those disciples see more in him now than they had seen before? What do you think? Or without a doubt, how differently that the Lord Jesus now appears to these two men. And why? Because the Lord Jesus, he is now in his exalted state. You say, did he look different? No, we do not mean that. Although, certainly he had a body, the same body, but a body that was now immortal. Where all the sin and the consequences of sin, they are taken away. The mortality of the body. And he is raised incorruptible. But we do not mean this. But we speak about the soul. We speak about the need of the soul. We speak about the need of the soul's of the disciples, because it is not the temporal things that are the most important, but it is the spiritual things. And when we will go back just a moment, then we can ask, what is it in which those disciples have just received instruction from the Lord Jesus? Oh, they have received instruction in the greatest need of their soul. They have received instruction in the need to be justified. Remember where they were. Those disciples, they are a people that have just been cut off. Cut off from what? From all their religion. There is no ground for them.
in all their religion anymore. What was it that they had testified? We have left all and followed thee. Oh, they had seen something in that. They had hoped something in that. What shall we have, therefore? Where was that now? Where was that when the Lord Jesus was lying in the grave, the one for whom they had left all and followed him? Didn't matter anymore. It was no ground anymore. And then what does the Lord Jesus do? Well, we have heard it. The Lord Jesus, he instructs them in another need. The Lord Jesus instructs them in the need for a sacrifice. The Lord Jesus instructs them in the need that the payment for sin be made, that the price be paid, that had to be, else they were lost. And so those disciples, under that instruction, their hearts, they may burn under this. That they may see it. That they may say, yes, that is what I also need. Because everything else is falling away. Because everything else that is insufficient. And so that Spirit of the Lord is leading his people, leading them to give them further instruction for the need of that priestly work. And then what? And then the Lord Jesus appears. And then their eyes are opened. And they knew him. And how do they see him? They see him in his exalted state. All that is so different than before. Why? Because he is in his justified state before his Father. Because he is in that state wherein his Father has spoken. Wherein his Father has said, it is enough. Wherein justice has been declared satisfied. That he could be released from the prison, then that statement of the payment of death, the payment of that price, that full payment that has been made. Oh, do you see then how different that it becomes for these disciples? No, we do not say that they saw all of these things in this moment, but it is the meaning. And that is what the Lord is showing unto his people. When the Lord is appearing, when the Lord is opening their eyes, when the Lord is opening their understanding. Oh, how was it now for those disciples? When the Lord Jesus takes that bread and he breaks it and he gives it to them and they may receive it. With their own hands, out of his hands. And then congregation, in that moment, those disciples, they are so included. They are so included. They are so included in that death. They are so included in that broken body. And they are so included in his resurrection. Oh, they are receiving it out of the fullness of Christ. They receive it out of the hand of that justified mediator.
And they do not receive it as the testimony of men. No, they receive it as the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Oh, do you see what is in it for the people? Because when they may receive it from His hands, or when that price may be declared to be paid in that court, oh, then that judge, he says, deliver him from going down into the pit, for I have found a ransom. Oh, is it not the further leadings into that blessed knowledge of that mediator, into the depth of the riches of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God? Is it not for the greatest comfort of that true people of the Lord that have to die and that cannot die? Is it not for the deliverance of those who are condemned, eternally condemned to death? Oh, how great thy love appears, that babe death's gloomy fears no more dismay. Is it not for the greatest joy of those who in that new birth began to love that God to whom they could not be reconciled by their own efforts, and their eyes were opened and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight for a moment, they may see Him. Then He is quickly gone. And so it is in this life. Later it will be different. And yet those disciples, oh, they are not sad. They are not sorrowful. No, it is exactly the opposite. Oh, they are so glad. And for what? For what they have received. Oh, He is out of their sight. But He is not out of their hearts. And then their mouths, they also will go open. But let us sing in Psalter 444, 2 and 4. O bless the Lord, who all thy need supplieth. Thy soul with good He fully satisfieth. And like the eagles, He renews thy youth. 2 and 4 of 444. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? What is a congregation? It is the grace of reflection. Now these disciples, they begin to look back. And so that people may look back sometimes over their whole life. And then in a moment like this, how everything begins to come together that has taken place in their life. Jacob, there came for him a day and that he heard such a blessed tiding. And what was that? Joseph is yet alive. And he is governor over all the land of Egypt. Oh, Jacob, he loved his son Joseph. But he had to lose him. He had to die. He had to be killed by a wild beast. And he had to lay dead for those many years. And now those tidings, what were they for Jacob? Oh, they were as tidings of the resurrection of his beloved son. Did he believe it, boys and girls? No, he couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. Do you know what we read? We read his heart fainted and he believed them not. It was too good to be true. I hope that you may experience such a message in your life one day. A message that you cannot take over because it is too good to be true. That is the way it was also for the disciples. Oh, that message from those women. How was it for them? It was just like idle tales, we read. And they believed them not. And then what happened? Then those brothers, they took Jacob outside. And now they say, look. And what may he see? He may see tokens. They were wagons. Wagons of Egypt. They came straight from that hand of Joseph. And when Jacob may see those tokens, then he says, it is enough. He says, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Reminds us of John, does it not? When he may go into that grave and he does not see the Lord Jesus, no. But he sees the tokens. He sees that empty grave and those grave clothes lying all in order. And then what do we read? Then we read, he saw and believed. But now, the last part still had to come for Jacob. Oh, that part wherein he would go and he would take his son into his own arms and he would embrace him. Then what a certainty it may live in his heart. But now in all of this, now Jacob may look back. He may look back into his past life, and he may receive the grace of reflection. And now all those riddles, they all begin in those moments to come together. Oh, Jacob, he didn't know the truth. He didn't know the reality. He didn't know how it really was. For all those years. He thought, congregation, it was death. He thought everything was death. And it was not death. But it was life. Because his son was alive. And it was for life. And it was for the preserving of his own life. And there comes a time that he may see it. And then the sin. And then the guilt. And the coat. And the blood. It all comes out into the open. We don't hear one word of rebuke from the mouth of Jacob. And why not? Because Joseph is alive. And so that overcomes and it surpasses everything. So that there is no word of admonishment for those sons of Jacob. Did not our heart burn within us when he talked with us by the way? And while he opened unto us the scriptures, when the Lord Jesus washed the feet of Peter, Peter said no. But then the Lord Jesus said to him, he says, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Thus there are so many things that are hidden from that church until afterwards. Oh, it is not until the Lord is opening the eyes and opening the understanding that they begin to look back and to recognize the leadings of the Lord in their life. And this is now that people that are able to tell how that he was known of them in the breaking of the bread. They can look back. They can tell you just what went before. They can tell you what happened. And they can tell you what followed in their life. Now that is our last thought. Their lips. Their lips go open. And when do their lips go open? When their eyes have been opened. When their understanding has been opened. Congregation, there are so many lips opened, but eyes have not been opened. And understandings have not been opened. And then the mouths would be better to be quiet. But there is another people. And they ought to speak. And they will speak. They will speak by moments. Because the Lord says the stones. They would cry out. If this people would hold their peace. It is evening, and they have far spent, and those men, they have walked for 2.5 hours. But it is of no consequence to them. No, what do we read? Oh, they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. The Lord has appeared to them, and who now comes into their minds? Oh, it is their fellow disciples. They see them sitting there. They see them sitting there distressed. They see them sitting there perplexed. They see them sitting there not knowing. And their heart that goes out unto their brethren. It is one church. And the love of the heart. Oh, that charity we read that seeks not her own. No, then they are ready to go back again in this moment. What did Sarah say? She says, God has made me to laugh so that all that hear
will laugh with me. And that is now their desire. So they rise up. And we don't read anything about that journey that they returned. No, that goes so fast in the darkness of that night. And they are not able to wait, children. They can't wait so that they can tell that news unto their fellow brethren. Is that still a missing church? Oh, no. No, they have it now. Oh, David says, my cup it runs over. They missed so much on the way to Emmaus. And yet he walked with them. And now he has vanished out of their sight. And yet he has heard their supplication. They said, abide with us. And certainly he was going along, congregation. We have to close. How is it? For your own soul. We all have a soul. Just as those disciples. And we are all going. Together going to that great eternity. Good Friday, Easter. Oh, they have so much meaning. They have so much meaning. They are blessings to be had above all the riches and all the treasures that a person can find in this whole world. Do you believe that? If we miss these things, we miss everything. We miss everything that has substance. Now in the scriptures, we have a revelation of the triune God. We cannot know him by the creation. We must know him by that holy scriptures. And so the blessed mediator, he is revealed to us in those holy scriptures, in his names, in his offices, in his works, in the events of salvation, Christmas, Good Friday, Easter, Ascension, Pentecost. But there is more. Also, how? How he is revealed. How he is made known to the soul. We read this also in the Word of God. And it is revealed there to us for a purpose. All for the benefit of that true church while they're still here on the earth. Can you find your life? Can you find your life in the life of these people? That is so important. Because the Lord works the same today as he did then. In the same way. Thus, if we are a stranger of the lives of God's people that are written in the Bible, then we are a stranger of the life of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. Then we should take warning. But what a comfort now, if here we may find our life, here we may find our heart, before the all-seeing and before the all-knowing eye of the Lord, that we have to say, Lord, thou knowest that of this life I am no stranger. No, that is not that we may have the highest steps. But if we may only be on the way. Because when that beginning is right, then the end that will also be right. But now what a blessing if the people of the Lord, if that true church of God is not settled on its lees, is not laying upon a bed of slothfulness. Why? Oh, how much there is in that precious mediator. How much there is to be learned of him. How much there is to be received out of him. And he is still so hidden so often in so many of his attributes, of his works.
from the people of the Lord. Oh, let us ask for what? What do we need to ask for, children? What has it now been about? Last week, this week. What has it now been about? Do you remember? Will you remember? What we have spoken of last week, what we have spoken of now in this morning hour. What must you now ask for when you go to your house and when you bend your knees? Or will you say, Lord, Lord, wilt thou open my eyes too? That our eyes may be opened, opened for sin, opened for grace, opened for Adam, opened for Christ. And when our eyes may go open, then our understanding, that will also go open. Oh, then our lips, they will also go open. Parents, oh, then our children, they will also hear something. Would that not be a wonder? If in our midst, these wonders could be told from house to house, that our rising generation may hear of that way wherein the Lord is leading all his people, and that their hearts may also burn within them, that they may seek out that same God and that same way, and that also they one day would be able to tell how the Lord was known of them. That they could tell how that their eyes were holding, that they should not know him. That they could tell how that their eyes were open, that they may know him, and that their soul may be saved, and the triune God may forever receive the glory. Amen. O Lord, open our eyes. Each one of us together, grant life. Grant life in our soul, that our hearts may burn, and that we may receive understanding hearts. Look on us, bless thy word. Forgive our many sins, bring us safely to our homes. And wilt thou bring us with desire together in this afternoon hour once again? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 175, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Come, all ye people, bless our God and tell his glorious praise abroad, who holds our soul in life. 1, 2, and 3, 175. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.